You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Welcome aboard, 304, nearly 305 here in Eastern Iowa, as we welcome you into the program here today. Great to have you with us as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Find them online at dupaco.com, and you can find out more about them, as I mentioned, by going to their website. You can also go to our website at kgymradio.com as well. Big show for you. We'll wrap up the weekend. Lots of football to discuss. Big story that is going to come down the line tomorrow, but as usual with all big stories, it has been leaked. We got Iowa basketball media day today for Fran McCaffrey and the men's basketball team, the NFL, the Ryder Cup. We got a ton. We're going to get to it all here on the program here today. Welcome in on 1600 ESPN, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, from his back porch. And Isaac, my partner in picking crime, on the other side of the glass. More on that coming up in just a little bit. Is a text line available to you. We encourage you to get a hold of us at 319-366-1600. Also, pick up the phone and give us a call if you'd like. That is also 319-366-1600. Mark, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Scott. I'm well after a great weekend. And good afternoon to Isaac and everyone out there. And yes, we have a new dynamic duo in the Emos Hideaway pick six.
That's a hint, right? Should we just go ahead and say it? Let's just get it done with here, because, you know, it may be the leading story of the weekend. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
Can Isaac bowl?
Not very well. No, I cannot. I'm not particularly good at it.
Bowling out.
Get right in.
No, at least last week. At least last week. No, Isaac and I were the dynamic duo. We were the winners. We were picked fourth. Who is the lucky number four caller that picked us?
That's going to be Dave, who I will call in just a moment.
Oh, Dave's going to be thrilled. Dave's probably already listening, already knew it, already thrilled. And it was a team effort because, Mark, as you know, what game did I veto his pick?
Illinois-Purdue.
Yeah. And who won by a million? Purdue. Huh? That's what did it for us. So
yeah,
that's a team effort.
I thought we were going to go 3-3, but 4-2, that's pretty good. I'll take it.
That doubles it. We'll see what strategy we'll come up with it this week. If I'm back on my own or if I'm going to, we'll see. We're on, you know, you can't even say winning streak yet. That's only one.
We're on the uptick, though.
We are.
We're on the uptick.
We have a green arrow next to us. Yeah. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. Lots to get to, as we mentioned. Let's start things off with Hawkeye football here today, as Iowa, with a 26-16 win over the Michigan State Spartans on Saturday night at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City, a game I believe that a lot of people are going to remember and headlined by the fact that starting quarterback Cade McNamara suffered that a pretty significant injury very early on in the first quarter and did not return. In fact, we haven't heard anything specific and official from the Iowa football program, but all kinds of reports out there, speculation, et cetera, Mark. The news is not good. A lot of people reporting that he is going to miss the remainder of the season. I don't know if optimism will say, well, let's wait and see until Kirk Ferentz meets with the media coming up tomorrow. But again, by all indications, it did not look good for Cade McNamara.
No, and David Eichel, our master chef, correspondent and 24/7 sports reporter, has reported that McNamara is likely done for the season, and entered Deacon Hill, which who did enter in the first quarter of that Michigan State game. And you feel bad for McNamara. He had high hopes coming from Michigan. Was hurt in that Kids Day scrimmage, aggravated it a couple times, and now it doesn't look good for his return. He does have another season available to him should he choose to take it. But Deacon Hill is the guy now, and I would argue that while Hill had probably a similar performance to what Joe Labus did against Kentucky in the bowl game, he facilitated things pretty well with him under center, 6'3", 250-plus. The quarterback sneak is back in play for the Iowa offense. It was not with McNamara. The rollout a little bit more in play, not so much with the McNamara. And I guess I'd kind of argue I was somewhat better off with Deacon Hill at the helm, given Cade McNamara's injury situation throughout this early part of the season. And it's not ideal. I know McNamara wanted to have a great year, and so did Iowa fans, but it is what it is. And the only thing about Hill, I think he needs to work on his changeup.
Yeah, ask Nico Raganini about that. He Vinny Evans'd Nico on a 3-yarder crossing pattern there. Yeah, I couldn't have said it better, Mark. I totally agree with you. The playbook opened up, and it's a bad thing to say about a young man that is probably going to miss the regular season, that he had half the playbook to work with, but an injured Cade McNamara or a healthy Deacon Hill / Joe Labus is what you're dealing with right now. As soon as Deacon Hill came in, being down there on Saturday night in Iowa City to take a look at things from up high, as soon as he came in, yes, the sneak was back, bootlegs were back, different patterns run by the wide receivers in certain situations were back. There were a ton of drops in that game, at least 5 or 6 drops, and that is the subject of our first text today, 3148. Do you attribute the drop passes to a stronger arm quarterback? Yeah, they're not. Listen, Cade McNamara was the guy usually in practice with the ones throwing the football. It's a different velocity coming in. It takes a little while to get used to. It's going to be much smoother, I think, with Deacon Hill having a shot to be with the ones this week. And you hope that the drops will go away for the most part. Iowa started to throw to wide receivers a little bit more, targeting wide receivers. I think that's a green arrow on the uptick there. Still problems as far as the offense is concerned. Didn't run the ball particularly well, 27 carries for 61 yards for the Hawkeyes on Saturday night. But we'll see. We'll see. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. That game came down, Mark, to special teams. Iowa won the special teams battle in a big, big way. Of course, Cooper DeJean's punt return for the score, but even lost perhaps before that was the shank punt by Michigan State that set up Iowa in good field position. So Iowa basically got the 10 points that the victory had. I know that's bad English. 10 points in the margin of victory, basically through the special teams. Other than that, it was pretty much an even Steven game. And with a Michigan State team, I got to tip my hat to them, because there was, you know, all kinds of speculation. Oh, there's going to be player revolts. Everyone's going to be leaving, et cetera, et cetera. That was a team that showed up. That was a team that had an all-business approach to it. And they did a lot of things right in that football game, but lost special teams and they had turnovers.
Yeah, they outgained Iowa by 120 yards and limited Iowa to 222. And if you're to tell me that 42 points would be scored in this game and one offensive touchdown, no, that's not going to happen. But you talk about the punting. Torrey Taylor was excellent, 48.9-yard average. But Ryan Eckley from Michigan State was at least as equal, if not more. 48.8 and three balls inside the 20.
With the shank. With the shank in there.
Well, when he shanked that punt, I think his next one, he was concentrating on just getting it in the field to play, and it was a perfect opportunity for Cooper DeJean to take it back all the way. DeJean had Miles in front of him. The closest defender was about 20 yards away when he took the ball. So, cheers of Coop. And
other cheers.
Other cheers as well. Of course, Brian Ferentz. That's a cheer ad nauseum. But it's a 10-point Iowa victory, and now on to Purdue at home this coming Saturday. And you mentioned wide receivers, 18 targets to wide receivers. Through the first four games, Iowa had a total of 14 targets. There's a concerted effort to throw the ball to the wide receivers. Yeah, there were some drops. Yeah, there were some exceedingly high fastballs. But nevertheless, I think this is what Hill can give this team, is more of a downfield presence. And, you know, we'll see how it pans out the rest of the way. But 5 minutes left in the game. Iowa's down 3 points. Kirk Ferentz decided to kick a field goal to tie it. Now, Matt Eberflus might want to make note of that, the Bears head coach. But Kirk admitted it was really interesting. I thought his emotions were to go for it. I think the offense naturally wanted to go for it. The fans probably wanted him to go for it. But he ended up kicking a game-tying field goal, 5 minutes left, and the rest is history from there.
Defense played very, very well in the second half for Iowa. The scoring defense was terrific, limiting in the first half Michigan State to the three field goals. Of course, Michigan State got a defensive touchdown in that game to get to 16. It's an interesting dynamic. You were kind of waiting for the shoe to drop, if you will, as far as the Boo Birds, et cetera, et cetera. And it finally happened. Of course, naturally, when Iowa was deep in their own territory and decided not to get – they stayed very conservative with three-run calls, and that got the whole thing started after that. There were pockets being there at Kinnick. There were pockets of folks that were from the get-go. They had their axe to grind with Brian, and whatever. You have every right to do so. Please say the coach's name right, though. I will say that when you want them fired. it's kind of embarrassing when you say when you pronounce the name wrong. 319-366-1600 here on the Jim Class on KGYM. Ralph and Riverside starting off today. Sad to see Cade go down, but my goodness gracious, Hill has an absolute cannon of an arm. Brett Favre in Big Ben's body. But let's not anoint him quite with those two yet, but I get your drift. I get your drift. Deacon Hill, says Matt in Fairfax, DH designated Hefty. Hey, there you go. Is going to save the season. We'll see. We'll see. Cooper, and this was one of the most popular social media texts on Saturday night, Sunday morning. Cooper should get some wideout reps. 8186, the first one to say that on our program here today. We'll address that coming up here in just a little bit. Does anyone know what is actually wrong with Caleb and Jazz? I am not sure about that, Mark. Just the fact that they are out, they have injuries. I don't think it's ever really been specified exactly if it's an ankle, if it's a knee, if it's a soft tissue, high ankle sprain. I'm not exactly sure. Yeah, and good luck tackling Hill. That is a big kid, says 8699. You're darn right he's a big dude. Michigan State had some big dudes, too. 319-366-1600 on a Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Cooper DeJean on offense. Mark, your thoughts. Yay or nay?
Well, he's the best number three on the team. The other one being Caleb Brown, who is the Ohio State transfer, has done absolutely nothing. He had a target or two in this game, but why not? Even if it's as a decoy, a jet sweep. You know, he played quarterback in high school.
Yes, he did.
I'm not sure how much he's played at wide receiver, but he's a versatile kid. And, you know, I wouldn't recommend playing him every down on offense, but maybe a package or two, huh? I wouldn't be adverse to that.
I wouldn't be adverse to it, but you have to be very, very careful. Because if you put him on offense and, God forbid, Cooper DeJean gets hurt, you lose an All-American corner that basically nobody throws at. Michigan State threw at him three times-ish in that game the other night. You also lose your dynamic punt returner. You got to be careful. You got to be careful in this day and age. You could use him as a decoy, certainly. Put him in a Wildcat situation or one of the backs in a Wildcat situation. And now here's the other thing. He's with Caleb Brown in there as a three. I believe the NCAA rules, then you would have Cooper DeJean switch, would have to put on a temporary number.
I think so, too.
And come in there. Every time a three was on offense on Saturday night, I suddenly got, oh, there's DeJean. And then I remember, oh, nope, Caleb Brown. He's number three just as well.
Well, what's it going to hurt? You've already lost your starting quarterback. You've lost your top receiver for the year. You've been without your top two running backs for, what, three, four games now, and you're going to be without them again? You've lost a starting defensive tackle and Noah Shannon, who started 22 dozen games in his career. And we don't know the status of, help me with the lineman that went down.
Nick DeYoung. And he was in because Connor Colby was dinged up, and then he was forced to come in.
Right. So I don't know. I'd be surprised if we see DeJean on offense, but I'd advocate it.
Yeah. 319-366-1600, 4063. MSU's tight end was a monster. Malik Carr is that young man's name, 6'6", 260 pounds. He went out with an injury, and as 4063 lets us know, if he stayed in the game, we were in trouble. Two injuries. He suffered an injury, and then also the wide receiver suffered an injury as well for Michigan State. Trey Mosley there at the very end when he fumbled. He absolutely got lit up on that particular play. Michigan State, give them all the credit in the world. They came to play and looked pretty darn good. That was a good win. That was a good win for Iowa the other night. And you still have the folks, of course, that are not happy, calling for Brian's head at the Saturday night game, as well as through the weekend and today. But a win is a win, I guess. Is Labus still injured? I see him listed as QB2, but hope he is ready in case they need him. He is back and was going with the number twos on Saturday night, and he would be the guy now as the number two quarterback in case anything happened with Deacon Hill. And Deacon Hill basically, Mark, got by Labus on the depth chart because Joe Labus was hurt.
Yeah, that's true. And as far as the gene goes, 0841, if you can use him as a decoy for a trick play in the right spot, go for it. Otherwise, can't risk injury. Well, on which side of the ball are you more likely to be injured, offense or defense? How about punt returns? Are you more likely to be injured, you know, on a jet sweep on offense versus returning a punt? I don't know.
I would say punt returning. Doing that for a couple of years was not a whole lot of fun. I can say that personally. Because never say that, never raise your hand when the coach asks, are there baseball players here? 319-366-1600. That's how my punt return, brief punt return career got started, Mark.
I was unaware.
Way down the line. Way many years ago. Many, many years ago. They come after you. They're coming in hard and fast. Let me just say that. Punt returning is a tough thing to do. 319-366-1600 as we come up on 326. Iowa and Purdue coming up. Remember, it is a Peacock game this Saturday. It will get underway at 2:30. Iowa State and TCU. We'll talk about Iowa State, Oklahoma coming up here in just a little bit, as that will be a 7 o'clock under the lights kickoff. We have the start times. Maybe you're going to get to those on the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard, brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids here in a little bit. Mark, I do not know. Are you going to do it then, or should we give that away now?
Doesn't matter. I got plenty.
Okay. Iowa and Wisconsin is going to be a Fox national broadcast. That will be a 3 o'clock start from Camp Randall up in Madison. So that will be a big Fox game. And Iowa State at Cincinnati at Nippert Stadium in Cincinnati, Ohio, is going to be an 11 o'clock kickoff in a couple weeks, Cyclone fans. So make that little adjustment on your calendar. And yes, 0497, we will get to that, your text, coming up here in just a moment. In fact, Mark, let's go ahead and get it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall. They are next to the Home Depot. And big thanks to Jamie and Dave and Chris and everybody over there at Emil's. They are a classic local American restaurant, and you can find out what they have to offer by going to emilshideaway.com. What do we got?
Red Sox Nation mourning the loss of 57-year-old Tim Wakefield, who died over the weekend. Wakefield, arguably one of the best knuckleball pitchers of all time, had 200 wins in 19 seasons. Probably regarded right up there with Phil Niekro and Hoyt Wilhelm, a couple of the Hall of Famers. And don't throw names at me. I know there's many more who are very good, but very sad news about Tim Wakefield. The Iowa wrestling schedule, at least the Big Ten portion of it, has Penn State visiting Carver-Hawkeye Arena on February 9th. And in one non-conference duel that is known, Iowa will travel to Oklahoma State on February 25th. More on Iowa football. Cooper DeJean named the Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Week, and Nick Jackson, linebacker, named co-defensive player of the week. And right up your alley, or whatever you want to call it, Scott, NASCAR Cup Series. NASCAR Cup Series will be coming to Iowa Speedway next summer, as an announcement, official announcement, scheduled tomorrow. No date yet as set, but Iowa Speedway, a lot of racing fans anticipated this for a good long time.
Yeah, the anticipated date from all of the reports is going to be Sunday, June 16th. Is what reports are saying, 2024. And actually, the Iowa Speedway website according to some folks, actually put up the announcement and then took it down very, very quickly. NASCAR is going to make their schedule known, I believe, tomorrow. Kim Reynolds is having a news conference tomorrow to, quote, unquote, talk about a big major sporting event coming to Central Iowa. So, you know, put everything together on that one. And many, many major folks in the NASCAR world are reporting it today. Jeff Gluck is doing it, among others from The Athletic. Don't know if this is a one-year situation, just a one-off. I imagine if it's going to be a huge success that NASCAR is going to want to come back. But keep in mind that what has blocked NASCAR, one of the reasons anyway, what has blocked NASCAR from coming to Newton before is the fact that the Kansas Speedway is so close, and Kansas did not want Iowa to have a race there because it's going to take tickets away from one of the two races at the Kansas Speedway. The other reason being there's not a ton of hotels around the Newton area. A lot of people have to go to Des Moines, Iowa City, wherever to stay if they're coming from out of town. The reason it is coming to Newton, the way it sounds, is the fact that the Fontana, California Speedway in Fontana is being redone right now as we speak. It will not be ready for NASCAR to come in 2024. So that was the opening on the schedule. NASCAR was deciding between several tracks, including the road course in Montreal, Canada, Iowa Speedway, among others. And apparently Iowa Speedway won out. Great news, whether you're a NASCAR fan or not, if you're a racing fan, this is absolutely fantastic news, Mark, because, I mean, seemingly 3 years ago, Iowa Speedway was on the verge of going away. And then Roger Penske came in with IndyCar. Hy-Vee came in with the IndyCar weekend the last 2 years. That has been a major success. And now NASCAR Cup Series. Xfinity has been there for a while, but the Cup Series coming in for the first time. They're also going to announce upgrades and some redos for the Iowa Speedway tomorrow. So this is a red-letter day for racing.
Yeah, it will be, and again, officially tomorrow, we presume. And Newton has put on great shows for IndyCar, Xfinity, and other races, and now the big show is coming, whether it's a one-off. We'll see.
And I imagine they'll have all the temporary seats that they bring in for the IndyCar race there as well for this NASCAR race. And it's going to be good. It's going to be good for racing around here. 319-366-1600, 332. We're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to talk more about college football, a little pro football, Iowa men's basketball media day. We will get to that as well. Stay with us. More to come on the Gym Class here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we're going to have plenty of sunshine today, and it's going to be toasty with temperatures in the upper 80s to near 90. As we head into tonight, we'll have clear skies and drop down to a low around 60. Tomorrow will be sunny and toasty once again. Temperatures will climb into the upper 80s. We will have the winds picking up in the afternoon and some clouds will start to build in. Rain chances will go up as a cold front moves through late tomorrow night into early Wednesday, and cooler air will follow. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Along with the crunch of leaves underfoot and the scent of smoke wisping from chimneys, fall brings with it a sense of tradition, the comforting feel of your big, cozy sweater, with a rich fragrance of secret recipe treats trailing from the oven. These are the things you can count on year after year. That's what fall means to the Dickens family. Since the 1940s, they've run Hertine & Stocker as a family business true to the classic fine jewelry store. Though it may be surprising, they still offer a layaway program. Just put down some money and pay each month until you're ready to take your piece home. Of course, it's interest-free. That's tradition, too. During fall, as you enjoy crisp apples, warm candles, and begin your holiday shopping, stop and see what's shining in those famous windows at Hertine & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and see Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
So why do I need vaccinations?
If I don't get vaccinated, how sick could I get?
Can I get multiple vaccines at once?
What's done to make sure vaccines are safe?
It's important to address your concerns about vaccines. Just make sure to get answers from people you can trust, not from a social post or an opinion on the internet. Instead, ask your healthcare provider about vaccinations, because they know you, and they'll always put your health first. Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services.
Sitting in a work vehicle is just part of the job, but being uncomfortable isn't. A bad seat can hurt your back and cause an injury that takes you and your vehicle out of commission. Auto Interiors and Convertibles has the solution. They'll overhaul that seat, redo the foam, tune up the springs, and repair the upholstery if it needs it. You won't believe how much better it feels to have your seat in that seat all day. For farm, construction, or service vehicle seat repairs, get in touch with Auto Interiors and Convertibles in Cedar Rapids. AutoInteriorsCR.com.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Circa Sports is live in Illinois. They partnered with New American Place in Waukegan, Illinois to bring retail over-the-counter betting way closer than Vegas. Stop by the grand opening Wednesday and meet Football Hall of Famer Brian Urlacher, Circa folks, and me, 1600 ESPN's Todd Brommelkamp.
336, back with you here on the Gym Class on KGYM. 319-366-1600. Is the text line available to you? 0547. About time, NASCAR. I've been pumped and waiting for this. Yes, NASCAR fans, very, very happy folks today. 0841 said, Scott, when you said it was a peacock game, I thought the crowd was going to be striped in different colors at Kinnick. Not how we can watch it. Nope, it is a peacock subscription game.
You never know anymore, do you?
You never know. You never know. But it is not the colors of a peacock. And everyone right now, this week, trying to figure out exactly, if you're a Hawkeye fan, how you get Peacock if you don't have the subscription. What do you, you know, a streaming service. You don't call it a channel. You don't call it a channel, right, Isaac? It is a streaming service, correct?
Yeah, I think that would be the right terminology.
Yeah, okay.
It's not too expensive too, if you are like looking out there. And I think at least student wise I get it for $2 a month, but I think normal prices maybe like $5 a month or something like that.
Okay,
so it's not, as far as streaming services go, it's not the most expensive.
We don't condone pirating it or anything from friends, relatives, etc., etc. We do not condone that here on the Gym Class program. 337, Iowa State falls 50-20 on Saturday night to the Oklahoma Sooners. A game that was very, very tight throughout the first half, Mark. Iowa State found a running game a little bit. Abu Sama, who I think should get more and more playing time, came through. Had himself some good runs. Iowa State had some big plays against the Oklahoma defense. And things looked fairly decent at halftime for the Cyclones. But then the Oklahoma defense really made some good adjustments at halftime, clamped down, and OU's offense went to work and ended up a 50-20 game.
Yeah, 21-20 at one point. And you thought, well, here's another close Iowa State-Oklahoma game, but not so much. Talent won out in this one. And Matt Campbell said he saw some positives on the offensive end, but on the defensive end, when you give up 50, whether it's to Oklahoma or Oklahoma A&T, there's some things that need to be corrected, and that'll begin this week against TCU.
That is a night game, 7 o'clock kickoff. That is the Jack Trice legacy game, by the way. Iowa State's going to be wearing those very unique uniforms that they wore for – the era of Jack Trice on Saturday evening. That'll be a 5 o'clock start here on 1600 ESPN. And the Iowa State-Cincinnati game in Cincinnati, if you missed it, on October 14th, that is going to be an 11 o'clock game as well. Should there be concern, Mark, with the Iowa State defense, like you talked about? That is now 77 points to the Oklahoma schools in the last 2 weeks. An Iowa State defense that a lot of people, including myself, thought was still fairly, fairly good after the non-conference. Is there a reason for concern?
I think so, especially the secondary. I thought was going to be maybe one of the best in the country, certainly in the Big 12, but it has not done particularly well as the whole defense. You've got to tighten things up.
I agree. I agree with that. And they'll try to do it against TCU, a team that's been putting up some points on the board. Horned Frogs, though, lost on Saturday. If my memory serves me, I think that was to West Virginia, who's playing pretty good, trying to save Neil Brown's job over there in Morgantown. By the way, big thanks to Realtor Lisa Nolan, who is the sponsor of our Iowa State football as well as men's and women's basketball broadcasts this season here on KGYM, and we thank Lisa for helping out with that. And again, that'll be a 5 o'clock kickoff coming up on Saturday from Jack Trice Stadium in Ames. 319-366-1600, the text line. We'll get to Iowa Men's Basketball Media Day coming up in just a little bit. Anything catch your eye in the college football world this weekend before we turn our attention to pro football, Mark?
A lot did. I think in the Big Ten, Michigan walloping Nebraska, somewhat, expected, and then Purdue putting a nod on Illinois, Maryland moving to 5-0 with a big victory over Indiana, and the Hoosiers have fired their offensive coordinator not even halfway into the season. Certainly, Baylor's comeback, down 28 points and came all the way back to beat Central Florida. Central Florida had a 58-yard field goal attempt at the end. Their kicker's last name is Boomer. What a great name. Those are some of the things. I think Penn State kind of sleepwalked through the first half against Northwestern and then won going away. North Dakota State loses in the FCS.
Yes, they did. South Dakota, the Coyotes. How about that? Of course, Colorado made it very interesting at the end in their game against USC. I think USC, first of all, the Trojans better get a defense or they're not going to win, come close to winning the national championship. But they got enough offense to take care of things. And I tell you what, all jokes aside, I am a believer in the Texas Longhorns, Mark. Even though Kansas did not have their quarterback, they didn't have Daniels out there, Texas still walloped Kansas 40-14.
I totally agree with you on Southern Cal's defense. Caleb Williams is terrific at quarterback. They got so many weapons. Jerry Rice's kid, among others. I thought Shador Sanders played well after a rough early going. The kid's talented. There's no doubt about it. But for Southern Cal to win a national championship, that defense needs to get better.
It does. It does. Right now, there are 9 really good football teams in college football. I mean, people were on Georgia after the game on Saturday. Folks, you go on the plains to Auburn and Jordan Hare and try to win. A win is a win, and Georgia getting a 7-point victory at Auburn is a good win. Georgia, Michigan, Texas, Ohio State, Florida State, Penn State, Washington, Oregon, and USC. Those are 9 really good football teams. And oh, by the way, Alabama, folks, is starting to figure it out. So just beware. Nick Saban is starting to figure things out down there. And the quarterback play is starting to get better and better. And I don't think Notre Dame is that bad of a team. There are 10, maybe 11 teams right now that you could see being in the college football playoff, Mark.
What about Kentucky, too? In at number 20 after walloping Florida. I guess we'll find out this week when Kentucky plays at Georgia.
Mark, before we get to pro football here real quick, a question for you on the text line from 0547. And we are going to talk much more Major League Baseball coming up tomorrow. The playoffs get underway, the best of three wild card series. We will have a game for you on Tuesday night and Wednesday night. We will join up with the Marlins and the Philadelphia Phillies after the Cyclone Coaches Show coming up tomorrow evening. And then we will have the Brewers and the Diamondbacks for you in its entirety, game two of that series coming up on Wednesday night. Can't give you all of these games because they're playing them simultaneous this year, Mark. Two games simultaneously in the afternoon, two at night. I'm kind of scratching my head-ish why they're doing that, but that's what Major League Baseball wants to do. Your thoughts on the Twins' chances against the Blue Jays?
Well, I'm optimistic, not overly optimistic. And reading today, I think two-thirds of the so-called baseball experts out there predicted a Toronto win. Everybody, I think, is picking or predicting this thing to go three games. Of course, it's great to be at home, but Toronto's got great pitching. And the Twins have been very good all year, too. It's going to come down to that. Toronto has Gausman and Berríos and Bassett, all terrific. But Twins got some pitching, too. Correa apparently is going to be back in the lineup. It's kind of gravy in my mind after winning the Central Division.
Yesterday was kind of an anticlimactic day in Major League Baseball. Pretty much everything except for Houston and Texas was settled on Saturday. And Houston, by virtue of their win and Texas loss, Houston moves into the American League West championship seat by virtue of a tiebreaker. So, yeah, there are the Astros again. And they, along with Baltimore, will get the byes in the American League, byes in the National League, go to the Braves and the Dodgers. Should be some very good series. Cal Elder will join us coming up tomorrow to talk a little bit more about baseball. Pro football, oi, Mark, you already mentioned your Bears. Yeah. Oh. It wasn't Justin Fields' fault, though, yesterday. Justin Fields played good ball yesterday, Mark.
Fields had a great day, and I tweeted at halftime, Bears up 21-7, you think this is over, you've never seen a Bears game. And sure enough, Denver came back and tied it at 28. Eberflus disdained a go-ahead field goal and didn't even get it in the hands of Fields to try to get a fourth and short. I'm with others who say that I'm surprised the guy has a job today. I really am. Now, listen, the Bears aren't very good, and they've had injuries. Three defensive backs out, starting defensive backs and others, but my goodness, you can't lose that game.
You can't. You can't. Speaking of guys that are lucky to have jobs today, Brant, you get away with it once. Maybe you learn about it. You get away with it a second time, though. Brandon Staley, holy smoke. Of course, remember back to the Vikings and the Chargers, went for it deep in his own territory in a fourth down, didn't get it, survived that game, did it again yesterday, did it again and didn't get it, and survived again when the Chargers came up with a pick on the goal line. You talk about lucky to have your job. I don't know what Brandon Staley is doing, but it's working right now. He ought to buy a lottery ticket.
He's been very fortunate in that regard. And by and large, a lot of blowouts in the NFL yesterday, a couple overtime games. And I thought a really good game last night, Kansas City and the Jets. And I know you can't answer this objectively, Scott, but
Taylor Swift.
A hold? Was that a hold on Sauce Gardner?
Yes.
Come on.
According to the NFL playbook, it was. Now Isaac's laughing. Hey, it also wasn't a safety either, so they all even out, Mark. They all even out. Okay, Isaac, Isaac, what do you think?
I didn't think it was a hold. I think the Chiefs got
beyond 5 yards. He twisted him.
I don't know. It was pretty physical. I feel like they hadn't called stuff like that all game. So it's just kind of like consistency sort of thing, you know? Like, if you're going to call that, then you kind of have to call it all game sort of thing. And if you're not going to call it all game, then you can't call it in that moment. So it's just, I can understand the Jets' frustration with that call.
My Chiefs fans are helping me. 0841 says, don't forget the Phantom horse collar call as well.
Obviously, ultimately it came down to the fumble, I think, more than anything.
But yes. And the Jets played really well.
Yeah, for sure.
Except for Zach Wilson's fumble.
He showed promising things, at least. I mean, it was better than... I mean, Zach Wilson had looked like the worst quarterback in the NFL up to this point, and he looked average. He looked above average yesterday, which was an improvement, and that's kind of all the Jets really need with the amount of talent on that team.
I don't look at social media during Chiefs games, but who won? Did we have more Taylor Swift cutaways or Aaron Rodgers cutaways? Do we know?
I only saw maybe 4 Taylor Swift cutaways. There weren't that many. I think since the game was close, they didn't really focus too much on it. I could be wrong on that. I didn't keep a track counter or anything like that.
I am not a Swiftie, Ralph.
Why wasn't Rodgers on the sideline?
Well, you don't want to get hit, right?
Come on. He's got 52 guys protecting him.
I'd rather watch it from a comfy booth as well.
Maybe they just wanted to. I mean, he could probably sit down somewhere, but you get a better view sitting down if you're not on the sideline, I imagine.
Oh, yeah.
So I assume they want him off the leg for as long as possible.
I agree. Zach Wilson looked like Aaron Rodgers for a handful of plays from 0547. All right, we need to take a break. Come back a little bit about Iowa Media Day and the Ryder Cup as well when we come back here in the Gym Class on KGYM.
Network Computer Solutions, this is Patty.
When you call NCS, Patty answers the phone, looks into your concern, and lets you know how soon one of their local techs will help. It's the human side of IT, and the way Network Computer Solutions has been doing business for 15 years. This high-touch approach makes an uncustomary difference for their customers. See how they can make your business run smoother at ncsei.com. Network Computer Solutions, their people are the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Hey, sports card collectors, we have a store for you in Coralville, RK Collectibles. We have a huge selection of baseball, football, basketball, UFC, soccer, and much more. We have new releases of trading cards, vintage and former Hawkeyes, and great prices on new Pokemon releases. RK Collectibles has the best selection of hobby boxes you'll find in Iowa. We're located at the corner of Highway 965 and Oakdale Boulevard, just north of Coral Ridge Mall. Stop in.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Back to wrap things up on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. Cal Eldred will join us coming up tomorrow. Iowa Men's Basketball Media Day today in Iowa City. Some of the highlights coming out today. Fran, very, very high on 6'8 freshman from Newark, New Jersey, Laje Dembele. He said he's been extremely impressive and believes there's a lot more in there. 6'8", 250. He's a big human. Big human down there. Fran also said Iowa's got a lot of options at point guard. Tony Perkins will be there. Josh Dix, Brock Harding, the freshman, Adam Olin, and DeSante Bowen as well. And Tony Perkins wants to be Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year this year. Also tells David Eichhold of 24/7 Sports that he and Patrick McCaffrey, this will be their final years in Iowa City. If they choose to play an extra year, it's going to be somewhere else.
Last thing I mentioned is high praise for Owen Freeman, who Fran McCaffrey said would be a quote-unquote impact player this year.
Yep. I think Iowa's going to be better than a lot of people think. Going to be better. It all depends if they can find somebody down low. So that's been the key, obviously, to Iowa basketball.
They got Cricky coming in, and we'll see.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. United States loses the Ryder Cup. You can make a pretty good argument that it was over Friday morning when the Euros swept it 4-0. Had a little bit of intrigue. Had a controversy or two. Had many excuses on the American side. You had near fisticuffs. I don't think it was that bad. You had everything in this Ryder Cup, Mark.
Yeah, you did. And the American, first of all, Zach Johnson, the Ryder Cup captain from Cedar Rapids, really fell on the sword. He was very emotional in his post-game or post-match comments. And he basically said it's on him. U.S. down 6.5 to 1.5 after day one. Lost alternate shots 7-1 between Friday and Saturday. That's where it was lost. I mean, after Friday's opening session, it was a 10-10 match. So, did the Americans play their best? No. Did the Europeans play great? Yeah.
Came down also the difference being the captain's picks. The Euro captain's picks came through in big, big fashion there. And the only thing I questioned was why Jordan Spieth got thrown out there when he wasn't playing very well. That's my only question. That's my only question at this point. A lot of things going about the Patrick Cantlay incident, or was it an incident? Of course, what happened late Saturday on the 18th green with Joe LaCava and Rory McIlroy and then Shane Lowry. Man, like I said, it had a lot of intrigue. And, oh, boy, is it going to be fun in New York City coming up in 2 years. I hope there's no bloodshed coming up then. Cal Elder joins us coming up tomorrow. Spencer on Sports coming away next. From 4 until 6, Monday Night Football, the Giants and the Seahawks tonight at 6:30. Mark, have a great night.
I will. Talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to The Gym Class here on KGYM. Have a great night, everybody.
Are you ready to make a difference for the environment while helping the visually impaired at the same time? Then donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind today by calling 1-800-983-6530. Every donated vehicle will either be properly recycled in an eco-friendly manner or given a new life through reuse. Donating your vehicle is easy.